Vogt, and I'm the Communications and Events Manager for Engineering Student Services in the College of Engineering. Thank you for joining us this week for the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. This week, we're focusing on the first semester experience and breaking our podcast into two parts, for freshmen and for transfer. My guests today just finished their first year at Cal, Natalie and Alex. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start off with some introductions. Natalie, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and what you're studying?
So I'm a first year, or now rising second year, bioengineering student at Berkeley, and I'm pretty interested in cell and tissue engineering. That's one of the concentrations within bioengineering.
And Alex, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so my full name is Alexandro, but we can just go Alex for short because there's not that much confusion with it. So I'm currently going to be a rising second year, studying civil engineering. Things that I'm focusing on are more on the sustainability and hydrology part of civil engineering. So, you know, there's a lot of professors who have a lot of research in that, and that's what I'm trying to get involved in here. And, you know, hopefully get into a master's program where, like, I can fully put myself in the that environment where I can make a difference in society.
Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for being here today. And I've got just a big list of questions that I kind of want to talk about your first year experience, really focusing on that first semester and even a little bit of what you did to get ready when you came here. So what do you remember about choosing that first semester schedule?
Alrighty, so I was really confused. The classes were indicated by numbers. You'd have like Math 1A, Math 1B, Chem 1A. Now, I don't know what these classes are. And so the best way to go about that, I just went to like the Berkeley course catalog, or you could go to the Berkeley Engineering website. That's a great resource. And basically you pick out if you're whatever major you are, so civil engineer, bioengineer, or even undeclared, they have a recommended course guideline for you. And from there you can basically like pick and choose which classes you might think would be best for you to take in that semester. You don't have to follow it strictly, but it is a good guideline just to get your, you know, feet on the ground and see where you're at. Definitely a tricky part. A lot of contention comes in deciding a math class, as Alex could probably agree, with the Math 1A, Math 1B, that's the introductory calculus series. If you have AP credits, you can go about skipping out of those classes, but a lot of students debate whether they should do that depending on how long ago they last had calculus. So that's honestly a question that is very personal to a student. You could go on College Confidential, Berkeley Reddit, but you know, there's it ultimately comes down to your own experience. That's what I can say.
So for me, one of the biggest struggles was figuring out how to enjoy myself at during the first semester, but also be on track to graduate on time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to figure out, you know, how many technical classes, which are the classes you need to for graduation. So like it's like math, sciences, and all. But also got great help from the advisors here at the ESS.
Oh, okay.
When we do have the engineering advisory, they do send us an email and do advise us that we don't have to always follow the curriculum, like Natalie said. There's a lot of loopholes that you can do and a lot of time that there is where you can just, I can add an extra class here, and I'll be okay. But I was also in like the situation when Natalie was talking about, having AP credits
mm-hmm.
for math. So from my personal experience, I took AB and BC. So I had 2 years of calculus in high school. And taking that over and over, I felt very comfortable with the Math 1A equivalent material. So I felt that I was ready to go into Math 1B. But that's like on my personal behalf and like how I felt. But that's like what I would recommend. If you feel really good about it, like if you and like they have these things where you can check out the tests, the exams, and see if you can answer some of it. Because, of course, we know, like, high school and like, college, they don't really equivalent to one another because, you know, you come from high school that doesn't have maybe a lot of APs, and you come to Berkeley, and you're just like, oh, my God, that's so different.
Right.
But if you can at least attempt it and, like, at least figure out, like, ways of solving it and maybe get close to it, then I feel like you're comfortable enough with the subject to maybe go ahead. But it's all based off, like, what Natalie said, like, your own personal, like, preferences and how you think you can handle the classes.
So I like that you're telling folks, don't worry about if somebody's telling you, well, you took your AP class, you should definitely go up higher. You should take the time to look at what do you know and what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And do you have any tips for choosing those classes outside So if you're having to choose like an R1B class or an R1A class, how do you actually choose which class you want to take? There's in like 27 different majors across the campus.
One of the things is like you have to, well, if you're going to go for engineers specific, especially like we already have our courses like designated.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take Math 1A, Math 1B, and all these like different courses. So personal recommendations, always use Write My Professor in Berkeley time.
Okay.
These are very like essential tools to figuring out what classes and what professors you want. Personally, I've used it a bunch of times, figured out like, oh, how difficult is this class? How difficult is the professor? And just figuring out ways of like, okay, I can maximize my potential of getting a good grade and also having a great teacher.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, those are a couple things that you have to think about when you're like trying to choose your classes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would definitely emphasize that for the R1A and R1B classes, since they are, you know, you want to be comfortable with that class, so you want to do a topic that you're interested in. So when you are choosing those classes, they have a lot of descriptions, so you could see what the topic or theme is about. You could also check that out on Berkeley catalog for courses. And so, yeah, definitely check out Berkeley Time and then Write My Professors for those, because you don't want to get stuck in a class or writing 10-page papers every other week. Because you will be busy with technical courses. So I made sure that I find a class that I would be enjoying and also not spending the majority of my time reading and writing.
A lot of the students right now are all going through the Golden Bear Advising, which I know both of you went through last year. And one of the things that we try to talk about over and over again is having backup classes. Mm-hmm. So when it came time for you to do your registration, did you have those backup classes and did it come in handy?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, of course, you need to understand that we going into like college, there's a lot of things that like can go against you, and especially at registration times. There have been instances, especially that happened last summer, where it crashed.
Oh, that's right.
So the server crashed, so you couldn't choose your classes. I was blessed that I already had the tab open, so I didn't really have to like worry about it crashing. But I know for other people, they had a really just like, oh, my whole schedule changed. So it's always good to have a backup schedule, just because like, and also like with Berkeley Times, also have like an enrollment catalog, mm-hmm. and seeing how many people are actually enrolling in the class, mm-hmm. to see if you actually like have a chance of getting into the classes.
Okay.
And also like, there's always like it says, this is for freshman students, this is for continuing students. Like, those are great indicators of how popular the classes are, and how fast it fills up in the class.
Okay.
So those are great indicators of like, okay, I need to choose this class, but I have to have this backup class because there's going to be space in it.
So you made sure as you were going through then to have that extra set of classes just in case?
Yeah, because you always have to be like cognizant of like things not going your way.
Okay.
This is how life is.
And what was registration day like outside of that server crashing? Do you remember what was going on and what feelings that you had?
I made a mistake, and I scheduled my DMV driver's test, like, a couple hours before that. And if you guys know the DMV, it doesn't always go according to plan. And so my driving's test got, like, postponed by, like, an hour. And I was freaking out because I had to rush back home. Not only did I have the stress of, you know, like, passing a driver's test, but I had to go back home, make sure I get all my classes. So big suggestion, do not schedule things like a doctor's appointment, a DMV test, or anything of that sort before your registration, because you want to have all your attention, all the, you know, emotions that you may have, focus on that day and time. So, yeah.
That's a really good tip.
Yeah, that's a lot more, like, intense than mine was. Mine was just, I was just chilling on a couch and just waiting for my registration.
That's what it should be. That's exactly what it should
you
be.
You just make sure that the classes that you want are still open when you can get them.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said earlier, like, you always have to be ready, like, an hour before, even now, as, like, second years. Like, we had to choose our classes. We didn't get, some of us weren't blessed enough to have a great schedule time.
Oh, okay.
Because we're enrollment time. So you just have to be ready for if anything happens, you know what your backup is.
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily, it might be hard this time, but it's hard for a couple of semesters. It's not.
Yeah. It's like all the upperclassmen have the upper hand. So okay. You can't really, like, if you want a class that's, like, you know, there's, like, a certain class, like, a lot of, like, the HSS courses, mm-hmm. which are social sciences and history, for people who don't know. A lot of those classes that, you know, are very interesting and maybe fairly easier than some classes are, those classes get taken up very fast because people are trying to fill up, oh, I need to fill this requirement, I need to fill this breath. Like, you're not only competing with people who are in the College of Engineering for enrollments, but you're competing with people outside of the College of Engineering.
Okay.
And remember, there's 32,000 students in this campus. So you really can't, you know, be like, oh, people just wait for me to get my classes. No, people are trying to get their classes yeah. too.
And talking about that, one of the questions that we have a lot of people ask, one of the things that we have a lot of people ask questions about is the swap function. Have you used the swap function?
Many times. Many, many times.
And what do you find it the most useful for?
Well, I think one of the essential things is, like, figuring out if, like, that fits in your schedule. Because a lot of us have a lot of outside activities we want to do. And also figuring out, like, what's the best days to have them. Because for me, I currently switched one of my classes. I swapped it because a lot more of my friends were in the class. So that's a kind of one thing you should maybe consider as well, because having people you already know in the class that you can study with mm-hmm. are great ways of, you know, being prepared for the class. So let's say if you can't come to a class because you're sick, yeah. you have people who can help you out.
Okay.
That's so, huge.
Yeah, and like study mates, you know, a lot of things that can just happen and like throughout the semester, and having a great group of friends who can help you out is a great way of like, you know, utilizing the tools and like the abilities you have in campus. Mm-hmm. So that's why using the swap function, I can allow myself to like, oh, no one's in this section, but I really want to like get help in this type of topic.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, oh, okay, I know some friends in that section, that discussion section, that lecture, I can maybe go to and ask some questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so instead of like dropping the course and risking someone else taking your spot, you're just swapping the section, and it's like an easy, you know, safe way of ensuring you get that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So you don't end up with no class at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's always a good thing. We always want you in the class and not wait in the class. And so once you did your registration, what did you have to do for the rest of the summer? What were things that you had to, did you have to keep going back and checking it, or were you still investigating other classes that you wanted to register in?
I pretty much stuck with what I had. However, I did keep researching different R1B courses, but I did end up staying with whatever I had, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just had to make sure, like, if I wanted to do extra classes, I had to know, like, what classes I wanted to do. So for my first registration, I had a schedule that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And the advisor was like, no, don't do that. That's too much for you for your first semester.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to reevaluate, and I had to keep thinking of a schedule that not only fit, like, me, my current schedule as in, like, oh, my classes, but also, like, if you work, like, I have to work. Right. I had to work the first semester and the second semester to pay for school. So figuring out ways of, like, having bubbles where you can have time to study, work, and doing things of that nature so you can maximize all your time.
So that kind of leads us really well into my time management question that I had for you. How much did your time management change from when you were in high school to coming here?
Kind of interesting, because in high school I was really booked hour to hour, you know, sports, band, classes, of course. So that was just like I had a very sturdy schedule. Whereas when I came into college, a lot of that changed. You know, I didn't have sports anymore. I didn't have all these extracurriculars. I just had class because, you know, we didn't join any clubs yet first week. We were just, you know, doing our thing. So I think what kind of tripped me up in a sense is the fact that I didn't have a lot of things, I had a lot of free time, and that's where your discipline comes in. You have to make sure you're staying on top of your classes. You might not even always have homework, because in a lot of these technical courses, you're just filling in, like, you're studying nonstop. You don't always, you know, you have midterms, like, every 2-3 weeks or so. Or, no, not two. Every,
midterm is the greatest misnomer, because it's not just a midterm.
Okay, so, I mean, let me clear something up. She said 2-3 weeks every midterm. No. It's... There's some classes that have two midterms, which is, you know, great. So, and, you know, they call them a midterm, but, like, they're not really midterms, because midterm means in the middle.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You have two midterms. That's what they call it. So that's what we have to go with. So you have them every 5 weeks. So after the first 5 weeks, you have a midterm. Second 5 weeks, you have another midterm. And then you have the final.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some classes have three, like chemistry.
So it's more like a tri-term.
Tri-term, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's also, you have to be cognizant of that, because you do only have, like Alex said, 5 weeks, or you have 5 weeks in between the midterms, and so you could get ahead of yourself, be like, oh, you know, I'm fine, I have 5 weeks to study for this. But then a week before the exam, you're like, I only have a week to study for this, and you start freaking out because you had all this free time before, learning from experience. So just making sure you have a calendar, writing these things down. I would honestly also highly recommend making a college schedule before even starting school. Just have, like, it's going to change for sure, but just having, you know, my classes are at this time, I'm going to go to bed at this time, I'm going to work out at this time. If you just have that in your, you know, in your brain, you're thinking about it, it's going to be way easier to stick with it than trying to, like, cram it in, trying to create a schedule midway through semester when you're already, like, you know, stressing out about midterms and such.
Yes, time management, like Natalie said, like my schedules back then, I'd have to take the bus to school. So I'd wake up at, you know, 6 o'clock, and then I'd get home at 8 p.m. because I had like a tutoring thing I used to do. So I had from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. I was busy. So, you know, back in high school, we have like the ability to, you know, use intelligence as our way of just like getting through our coursework.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you come to Berkeley isn't about intelligence, it's about hard work. Mm-hmm. How much work you can put in to each of these classes and use your intelligence to maximize so you can do the best you can in each class. So for me, one of the first things I had to do was, you know, I had to set time for myself to, like, you know, just study mm-hmm. and just do homework, because the best thing you can do is be ahead. You always want to be mm-hmm. ahead, because if you just, if something happens, at least you'll be on, like, everybody else and not, like, behind. Because a lot of people I've heard, like, throughout, like, you know, my friends and this other, you know, other people around, but they fall behind because, you know, something happens and, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, so now I have to catch mm-hmm. up and overstress themselves. But, you know, if you have a lot of free time, like Natalie said, like, you have to maximize it. So working out, that's a great way of just, you know, relieving yourself of, like, the stresses of college. Or, you know, if you find other different types of, like, media to, like, do that. So, like, dance, there's, like, a lot of dance teams, the RSF. There's a lot of different things that you could do that just to help you feel better.
We want you to be mindful.
Yeah. We want you to be mindful of, like, yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one thing that you always have to consider is, like, not just, like, oh, how can I do good in school, but also how can you do better for yourself?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Like, last semester, I will be completely honest, I really did not care too much about myself. I really cared about my classes and my work and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take care of myself the way I should.
Okay.
And, you know, that's, like, one of the tales, like, you have to understand is, like, you might think you can do all this, but what do you have to sacrifice for that? Do you want to sacrifice yourself? Or do you want to sacrifice, you know, I don't have to take this class right now because it's like I'm just trying to get ahead. But you don't have to get ahead. You know, you can be on time with everybody. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like how I said earlier, like, you need to make time for yourself, make time to study. And also, you know, make time for friends, because this is, like, the first semester.
Yes.
And you need to figure out a way of, like, building your network. So, like, your network is, like, your group of friends who you want to be, like, you're going to have lifelong friendships with them. So if you don't spend time, you know, with different people and just, like, you know, oh, I have this, and, like, be solitary, not acknowledge people, you're going to lose advocates who are going to advocate for you. You know, people who are going to, like, hey, if you need help, I can help you out. You know, people who can just bring you up when you might feel down. So, you know, the first semester is very tricky, but you have to figure out ways of just maximizing your time to do what's best for you, like, personally, mentally, and, like, socially.
Mm-hmm. And how did you handle the transition of moving from your parents' house to living by yourself in a dorm?
mm-hmm.
And what suggestions would you have for other folks of how to make that transition smoother?
So the first thing was, okay, so I back in high school, I did, like, a lot of, like, one-week camping trips. So it's kind of just, like, okay, I was away from my parents for a week, and, you know, I would come back. So it's kind of just, like, an extended, like, trip.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I got dropped off, my parents, like, it was, you know, one of those heart-wrenching things. You're like, oh, like, parents, like, don't cry, please. But I think the first thing is, like, also, like, you want to get accustomed to, like, the people you're going to be around. Because, you know, if the people, like, your family members, you're around them all the time when you're at home. When, like, you go to sleep, when you wake up, you're going to see a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, coming to college, like, you're gonna have roommates. So, you know, having a good relationship with your roommates can help you develop, like, a second family.
Oh, good.
And also having different organizations that support you, maybe from a cultural standpoint, from an ideal standpoint,
mm-hmm.
those type of clubs that can help you feel like you're a part of something.
Okay.
Helps you bridge that gap between having, like, your actual, like, biological family to, like, a family of friends who you feel so close with that you don't want to give up. So it's even harder to leave Berkeley when you're trying to go home.
That's very true.
And Natalie, what about you?
So I had a situation where I was rooming with my best friend from high school, and then a third roommate was paired with us. So that really helped me. You know, not everyone has that ideal situation where they can room with their friend. But if you don't have that situation, make a friend out of your roommate. You know, like, you come home every day after a stressful day back home, you would talk to your mom, you talk to your dad. But here, you got no one else, but you have your roommates and you have your hallmates. So you want to, like, optimize the happiness that you can experience. Get to know your hallmates. Don't be afraid to, like, reach out. Everyone is shy, or, like, everyone is trying to make friends, you know? So just go out, reach out, make friends, introduce yourself. That way when you're in the bathroom, you know, you could be like, hey, what's up? Or what class are you taking? And that can take off, you know? They can introduce you to a different club, and it's just, like, a beautiful, like, chain reaction that can occur just from introducing yourself. So don't hesitate to reach out. And don't be afraid to, like, go to the socials that your hall may have. Those are really great opportunities to get to know other people in your major. And also, yeah, common activities that Alex talked about.
Yeah, that's one of the big fallacies at Berkeley. That people come and, like, don't make friends. That's kind of a lie.
Big lie.
You go, like, if you're an incoming freshman living in the dorms, so you have you're going to have something called GBO, which Golden Bear Orientation, that happens the week before school starts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not only going to have a group of people with you to begin with, which is about, like, 50 students.
Yeah.
In one group, depending on, like, what dorm you live in. So you can make friends there, your hallmates, your roommates. There's so many opportunities for you to make friends. And then things that happen at Sproul Plaza, you know, when they have Calapalooza, when you're going to meet a lot of different clubs. A lot of people want to be your friend. They want to have you be there, you know, supporting them. But also, so, like, so they're going to try to support you. So, like, don't think of coming to Berkeley as, like, oh, like, this place is, like, boring. It's, like, desolate. No, it's a live, vivid place next to San Francisco, one of the most, like, one of the greatest cities in, like, the nation. So you're in a good spot to meet a lot of interesting people who are going to, you know, make you feel at home.
Did either of you start study groups or use the tutoring services that we have available here at the beginning of the semester?
I would ask, like, an occasional question. Sometimes I had that, like, mentality if I could do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes you think you're a little too, you're like, you know, a little too much, but then you're just like, and you get hit with reality when you have your quiz that you just don't really do well on, you know. But, like, I have used, like, the services at the ESS or the CAE to be specific, and, you know, ask, like, hey, I need some help. I don't really get this question. And, you know, the tutors there aren't going to give you the answers. They're going to give you the ways of how to solve the question.
The tools.
The tools, yeah, because anybody can tell you how to, like, solve this question. You know, like, oh, here's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, someone who has to explain the topic and, like, how to, like, help you get through it instead of just, like, oh, you just do this, is more useful.
No, I completely agree with Alex and the, like, do-it-yourself mentality. That's a big mistake I actually made coming into Berkeley. I was like, oh, you know, I could do it myself. That's what I did in high school. You know, I didn't depend on my peers to help me through classes. I just had to work a little harder, and I'd be able to understand a YouTube video here and there. But in Berkeley, it really did change because I realized that a little too late, but I can't do it on my own. You really can't. Especially as an engineer. As an engineer, you're surrounded by community. You can't build, you know, a building by yourself. So you just really have to get used to working with other people. But what I would recommend, if you are someone who does like doing something on their own, I would definitely recommend being familiar with a concept or being really good at explaining something. That way, when you are in a study group, you could be the one teaching it, or that's, like, the best way to learn, as Alex could probably attest to. He's a pretty good tutor. But, just, like, being able to explain it to someone or being able to engage in a study group, that's also something I was always afraid of. Like, I wouldn't be able to contribute necessarily because I'd be behind. I wouldn't have been familiar with the lesson, so I can't necessarily contribute as much because I didn't do the necessary reading. So just make sure, like, really put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to go to office hours. Meet your professors. That also makes the Berkeley community a lot smaller when you know the people, you know, who are up there in those big lecture halls. But you know their personality. Like, that makes it so much more intimate and, like, similar to, like, a high school experience where you have a small classroom setting. And you're not going to have that here necessarily. But if you do get that, take that time to get to know your professor, your classmates, it does become way simpler. And that also aids in the transition.
There's a lot of interesting characters that are professors.
Yes.
We think of professors as these big, scary, you know, individuals who are so accomplished, you know. But they're just human beings, you know. Some professors in, like, the civil engineering department, Professor Horvath, he's an amazing professor. Like, he's done a lot in his career. But he's just a generally funny guy. Like, he likes to have fun, you know. Probably Alexander Pollan, like, a math professor.
Yes.
He has so much fun teaching, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they want to meet you. They want to talk to you. Sometimes they have, you know, sometimes they, you know, give a little bit of intimidation to students.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're able to break that barrier, they're just going to be themselves. And themselves is, like, they're a great person. You know, they're great people.
Professors get lonely, too.
So. Yeah.
I know if you ever want to get him to talk, start asking about the research.
Yes. Mm,
yes, yes, yes.
And are either of you, and you had talked a little bit about student organizations, but what student organizations are you involved in or competition teams?
So for me, I'm a part of, I was a part of a couple during my first year. I did a lot. So, you know, I might have done a lot, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to do a lot. So I was a part of the Hispanic Engineers and Scientists, which is a SHIP chapter, which is like a Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers.
Okay.
Here on campus. I was a part of Hermanos Unidos. I was part of Cal Construction, construction like design team. And then I was part of Cal Enviro, where we were filtering water out and how to figure out how to make a good filter using things you could find around the house.
Oh, okay.
And then I was a part of the American Society of Civil Engineers.
You did a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, I might have done a lot, you know, and like that's cool and all. But also there's a lot of things you have to do being a part of all those clubs and also trying to be an active member. So that's like one little cautionary tale of like, you know, just don't try to do too much that's out of your reach.
Okay.
But that's what I did during my first semester.
Yeah, as Marvin Lopez, the director of student services here, says, under commit, over deliver. So try not to be part of too much. I think you would like, you want to dip your toe into the different clubs, especially first semester. Like, that is such a great resource and a way to make friends. And also just get a ton of resources in terms of textbooks, you know. People are passing down textbooks. They don't even need them anymore. So making friends in these kinds of clubs, like I remember before my semester started, I looked up all the Berkeley clubs and organizations, and I looked at like the list of 2,000 clubs or so, and then I filtered them through of like into sports, entertainment, you know, dance teams, engineering teams. And so I narrowed it down to like a list of 20. And then, no, I didn't join all 20 of those clubs, but I already had an idea of what I wanted to be a part of coming in. So I joined the bioprinting club. And then I joined the Biomedical Engineering Society, and then I was also part of a church group. So that was just, like, a lot of fun and really helped me, like, cultivate a family. And I didn't fully engage, like, that first semester. I was kind of, you know, distant. I was still a little cautious. But I just really wanted to already make those friendships. It's really great to do that first semester just so you can already get the ball rolling, get your foot in the door for potential, you know, committee positions or something like that, being an officer. That way you're, you know, already a step ahead of the game.
And so you said you had investigated it ahead of time just online. Did you go to any of the, like, the Calapalooza stuff that they do here? Or I know during GBO we have student orgs out for specifically during our College of Engineering Day.
Yeah, I attended, like, most of those, you know, just to go check everything out. But also I had a lot of friend recommendations.
Oh, okay.
Of, like, organizations to join, not only for, like, professional development, but also for social development. Like, oh, people that are upperclassmen in my major who are more aligned to, like, what I think about. Because sometimes when you come to college and, you know, for me, for like my own experience, being Latino is kind of hard to see engineers here because there's not a lot of us. So, you know, joining like the HESS, which is short for Hispanic Engineers and Scientists, I was able to meet other civil engineers who are also like Latino. So it was a great way of like also bridging a gap between like, of like what I thought a civil engineer was, but then what we actually are, you know, we're a diverse group of people. Doing the same work,
right?
On the same goal, so you know that's something I took from it.
And we talked a little bit about your ESS advisor. Have you had one-on-one appointments with your advisors to get advice on either schedule planning or time management or anything along those lines?
Yeah, I've talked to in the first semester, just kind of hesitant a little bit to go. But, you know, second semester, I felt a lot more comfortable with, like, where I was in the curriculum. And I, you know, I was like, okay, I want to go talk to, you know, Catherine, like, the CE advisor. And she told me a lot of things, you know, and from her own personal experiences being at Cal. So I was asking her about, like, the education minor, and she got the education minor. So she was able to give me some advice, you know. And, you know, I had some ideas of what I wanted to do, you know, get all these majors, all these minors, I meant to say. But she was advising me that, you know, a minor really doesn't mean as much as taking the courses and learning what you want to learn.
Oh, okay.
So I had a lot of more of just, like, trying to not think of, like, oh, my accomplishments, but, like, things that I feel accomplished by myself. Not, like, oh, I need, like, a little sticker on my diploma to tell me that I did this. You know, it's the courses I took that enrich my experience here.
Oh, okay. And did you meet with your advisor?
I also met with Joey Wong, the bioengineering advisor. I met with him once, or actually, no, I was in correspondence with him before actually first semester started. He was really good on, like, emailing his students back about questions. I was really nervous and, like, what courses should I take? Is this good? Like, is this too hard? And he was like, no, that's fine. You're going to do great. And he was just super supportive. And then when I met with him one-on-one before second semester started, he also, like, confirmed and, like, made sure my second semester course load was good and, like, online, on track with graduation. So it's just, like, a very great, like, you know, comfort system. They're very supportive no matter who you have. Like, it's just a great – another resource, you know, that you want to take advantage of. Especially here, you know, yeah.
Yeah, they really want to help you. That's their job. They want to help you graduate. They want to help you succeed. Like, I know there's this old stereotype that I think maybe was started by Berkeley students that, like, you look to left and right, like, one of you aren't going to be here.
Oh, yeah. There was
old stereotype, you know? But, like – we're transitioning from that phase of, like, cutthroat competitiveness to, because we want to see everybody succeed, because everybody has potential to make a change in society the way they want to, the way they want to do it. So, you know, these advisors, the tutors, you know, your fellow students, they really want to help you out. So, you know, you have to take advantage of everything they have here, because engineers are very privileged on this campus, just to let you guys know. If you come to the ESS, you will get free fruit, will get advising, tutoring, you know, it's all that's a lot to, like,
free gifts, pens, free shirts.
So many events they hold here that you're really just being, like, they're just giving you a lot. So you have to take advantage of everything, and just to make sure that, you know, you feel comfortable coming to people and asking for advice, because that's, like, the biggest thing. Don't ever think, like, you can't do it, because people believe you can do it. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to do anything you want. Right. You know, but it's just like, it's your drive, it's your willingness to just put in that effort, you know? So, you know, and these advisors will tell you, they'll tell you straight up, they'll tell you, like, what you're doing, you know? Like, hey, like, what are you doing? You know, and, like, your fellow peers will tell you the same thing, you know? Because they all want to see you succeed. They just want to see you, like, lollygag.
They'll keep you accountable.
The other part of Engineering Student Services is we have a lot of programs for our students that include workshops. Did you have a chance to do any of the workshops that we offer this year?
They have the cupcakes and headshots. That's really good because, you know, like, they give you some advice about how to market yourself. That's like, there's like I think it was a LinkedIn event beforehand. Yes. So they do a LinkedIn event. If you guys don't know what LinkedIn is, it's a professional Facebook where, like, you tell people what you're doing, but, you know, in a very, like, professional way. Like, if you're going to go volunteer, you maybe post a picture on there and show, like, oh, you're busy, you're doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the cupcakes and headshots where you have a headshot for LinkedIn, and then to be rewarded, you get a cupcake. So, you know, this is also, like, great.
Who doesn't
things.
Want a cupcake?
Exactly.
Yeah, and, like, we had a grad school. I know there's a graduate thing they have here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we talk about if you're thinking about going to grad school, how to make sure you're on track for that.
Yeah. And there's, like, all these, like, little things that has happened, like, around, like, you know, Bechtel and, like, ESS, like, you know, but you can just be a part of it. You know, it's, like, you can just walk in and they'll come in with open arms, like, hey, sit down, you know, enjoy what you're going to learn. And, you know, that's just, like, one great thing. Like, you don't have to, like, oh, you should RSVP, of course, if there's an event and you do know about it. But you can just walk into an event and, you know, not be kicked out.
And what's the best way to learn about the events?
We do have the website.
Newsletter.
The newsletter. The best one, yeah. They like, every week, basically, they send you a synopsis of all the events that are going to be happening in the following week. And, right, you know, whenever I see something that interests me, I put it in my Google Calendar right away. And because I know I'm going to forget. We naturally forget. We have so much things on our heads. So definitely put that into your Google Calendars, because there's incredible events, speakers, you know, workshops that are going to happen. And a lot of times I'd be like, oh, it's all right. I don't have to go to that. You know, I didn't feel like going, but I really pushed myself to go, and I just learned so much that, like, you know, helped me, like, find things to do for the summer or, you know, get a job. So it was just, like, really, really great way to stay active.
Also, check the bulletin board in the ESS. That's, like, there's some things in there where you just, like, you just look at it and you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't know about that. So you just go to the events.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're lucky, you can get a internship, research opportunity. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. Like, based off one little thing you see, you can make a lot out of it. Like how Natalie said, like, you can, if you keep yourself, like, accountable, like, okay, I want to go to this event because I'm really passionate about it. You know, that passion that you show to, like, someone who's, like, in that field could lead you to something bigger than just, like, oh, just talking to someone, but actually maybe getting some actual work involved with them.
Yeah, the newsletter, we've got things for not only the events that we put on here in the office, but we've got company info sessions. We actually have job postings and internship postings. And so if you had to talk to anyone who is going to be starting in August, do you have any tips for them of what they should do this summer to make sure they're ready to go when they get here?
Well, first of all, congratulations. Enjoy your time after high school. This is the beautiful honeymoon period that I like to call between high school and college, where you don't have any summer readings, you don't have any, you know, assignments, you might be working, but first of all, pat yourself on the back and, you know, enjoy your time off. But then, once we get to, like, July, like mid-July, you want to start, you know, brushing up on your math skills, check out what you might be rusty on, because that, once again, will help you, as we mentioned earlier, decide, you know, what math class will be best for you. The sooner you know what you don't know is amazing, you know. You want to be on top of things, so you don't necessarily have to learn an entire semester's worth of math or CS, but definitely just, like, look at the class you'll be taking. And then, you know, watch some YouTube videos, get, you know, your hand on it. Because once this school year starts, it does not stop. And so the more you do now, like in the summer, you're gonna love yourself, you know. Do something that will, like, improve your future self for sure.
So just to reiterate what Natalie said, congratulations on, you know, graduating from high school and then getting accepted to Berkeley at the College of Engineering. So one thing you should do is listen to this podcast. You know, that'll help out a lot. But, you know, other things you should, like, really consider is, like, is, you know, things that can make your, like, your first semester or first year a lot easier. So if you're having financial problems, look for a lot of scholarships, you know, do things that will help make your time easier. So if you don't have to worry about finances and worry about money, and you can get things paid for by doing scholarships or do, you know, take that opportunity. Because my friend says, like, it might take 4 hours to do a scholarship, but if it's worth $1,000, and that's $250 an hour. You know, people don't get paid that. You know, you just did that. You just got paid. You got $1,000, you know, for doing 4 hours of work.
That's an awesome way to look at it.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah.
So, you know, just try to do the little things. Like Natalie said, brush up on what you don't know. Like, the sooner you find out what you don't know, the better you could be prepared. And I would also, like, you know, maybe if you're blessed enough to have friends who are actually on campus and maybe have similar majors taking the classes, maybe you can ask them for, like, previous notes, you know, things that they can advise you on. You know, just trying to figure out a way of just setting yourself up for success.
Okay.
Yeah. And, like, you know, if you can come to campus and maybe meet some, like, resources, like, go to EOP, just do things around, like, the campus if you're going to be around. Just try to find ways to just, you know, maximizing your free time. Because we're all free during the summer, like, when if you're not coming from out of high school. If you have an internship or something like that, or you're doing community college classes, you know, you guys are doing good, too. But, you know, people who aren't doing anything, hey, like, you guys still have a chance to do a lot. So right. Use that time, you know, and, you know, enjoy your family while you're still around, yes. You know, to just take, just to make sure you, when you leave everything in good hands, you know.
Excellent. All right. So we want to wrap this up. Is there any last point that you wanted to make sure that you said, or we haven't had a chance, or is another thought that came to mind that you haven't said yet?
One thing I probably would say is, you know, don't try to limit yourself when you come here. Don't, if people are telling you to do, like, if people are forcing you to do something, okay, that's your right to say no, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something you want to do, but you're saying no because you don't think, because you don't, like, believe in yourself, or, like, you're hesitating because, like, it's just for no, like, asserted reason,
mm-hmm.
Say yes, because there's some things that you just don't, like, know what's going to happen, you know? So let's say people want to invite you to go get food, you know? Maybe you might be the love of your life or something. Who knows? You know, Berkeley and this college in general is just a great way of just, you know, exploring, like, you know, the surroundings, but also just, like, who you want to be when you, like, become a professional. Like, I've stopped saying no, because the more times I've said no, the less times I have the opportunity to say yes.
Okay.
You know?
No, so, it definitely makes sense.
Nice. So if you don't have the opportunity to say yes, like, if you have all these opportunities, right, and you keep shutting them down, then, like, what happens if one of them was the right one for you? You know, you just have to, like, think about, like, what's going to be in your best interest.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely don't count yourself out. As Alex said, you know, you're coming into Berkeley for a reason. The admissions staff went through rigorous hours selecting, you know, the prime individuals to join our engineering community. So times are going to get tough, not going to lie, but that's who you are made of. You're made of, you know, you could get through this. You could get through anything. And so just enjoy the moment. Enjoy every, you know, late night. You might not enjoy it in the moment, but sooner or later, these 4 years are really going to go by fast. As first year, as Alex can agree with me, it went in a blur. So just make the most out of every opportunity and take care of yourself.
Fall semester is one of the semesters. Well, it's the semester that probably a lot of things happen.
Yeah.
Because it's not only football season. There's a lot of things that just happen, mm-hmm. you know, and you should just be, like, aware of that, you know, things are going to distract you. So there's sometimes where you can allow distractions to distract you, and sometimes you can't. So just knowing that difference.
Develop discretion, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, if people invite you to go out, you know, go out with them. If you have time, if you can, like, if you're already, like, ahead. But if you're behind, like, you have a 4-page paper due tomorrow, and, like, it's, like, 10 o'clock at night, and it's due at 8 a.m., you should probably not go out.
Yeah.
Just, you know, moderation. Just think about yourself, you know, when you want to do things. But also just, like, advise the best interest, I guess, in the best interest of yourself.
Okay.
That's how I would say.
And that sounds awesome. I really like it. That's really good notes on things to think of for them, for folks when they're coming. Thank you both so much for coming today. You have been absolutely amazing, and I appreciate your time. And Alex, I know you flew up here for me, so thank you. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer, and we'll be back here next week. Thank you.